So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. Today we're going to be looking at John chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verse 3. But before we do that, we're going to come and we're going to seek the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you that we can come to a God who loves us, a God who is concerned about our lives. We thank you that we can trust you with all that is going on in the world at this moment in time. We thank you that we can lean upon you and know help and strength through every day. We pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you'd help us to understand what it means. We pray, Lord, too, that you would apply it to our lives by your Holy Spirit, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to read to you John chapter 17, and I'm going to read the first three verses. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So what then is eternal life? In films, it's portrayed as being, of never dying, really, of a very long existence here on this life, in which you outlive all those who are mere mortal. And to me, that just sounds like a very lonely experience. And to be trapped in a world that is so full of violence and so full of pain forever isn't my idea of fun. Or maybe you have in mind the idea of dying here and being transported to a place which is much better than our present world, a place where angels play their harps, and it's a lovely, fluffy, ethereal experience. Well, even in the Christian world, there is much debate as to what the next life will be like. The Bible really gives the barest of bones to what we will actually experience in the new heavens and the new earth that God will prepare for his people. Now, what I can tell you about eternity from our verse is that it does not begin at death, but rather it begins with Jesus. It's most definitely a never-ending existence, but it needs to be understood in the context of Christ. Now, what every person is being offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, so that when you die, instead of going to spend forever in hell, you get the luxury alternative package of heaven. That's not what we're talking about. What you're being offered in the gospel is to have the life that Christ has always known, to participate in that life that Christ has always had. Now, Jesus Christ has always been in a perfect relationship with God the Father. He has always known the love of a father for his Son. He has always known the power and the majesty of the Godhead. And in the life that Christ has known from eternity past, there has been no sin to ruin his relationship, no misery, no heartache, no pain, no fear, no decay, and no failure. There has always been the constant certainty of love and rejoicing. So each of us, when we repent of our sin and we seek Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Saviour, we come into that relationship. Eternity has begun in our lives. It's why we feel that we do not belong in the world in the same way that we did. It's why our home is in Christ. It's why we delight to know Jesus, and our hearts are warmed whenever we spend time with him. Now, the more that we know of Christ, the more that we know of our Heavenly Father, and the more that we know of that relationship, the greater our hunger to be in his presence. That's why, as Christians, the more mature, then the greater our dependence upon God and the more time that we spend in prayer and in the Bible. Not because we have to, and not because it's just the right thing to do, but because our hearts rejoice in being in his presence. You've been brought into that wonderful relationship in which everything in the Lord Jesus Christ becomes so real and so amazingly powerful in our lives that we want more and more of it. And we often discover that when we do not spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, we grow cold and we begin to drift back into our old patterns of life. But the more time that we spend with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more time we are in his presence, the greater our desire to have more of him and less of the things of this world. Well, notice that our verse tells us that eternal life is to know the only true God. Now, there are many in this world who would argue that there are many ways to know God, that Jesus is not the only way. Well, that's not the Bible's understanding of eternal life. Eternal life can only come through the one that God has sent, and our verse clearly tells us that that's Jesus Christ. He is the one. Jesus Christ is the only one sent from God. He is the only one who can remove the barriers to eternal life. Jesus Christ has paid the consequences of sin for all who believe in him. He has borne the separation that our sin deserves. He has paid the price that our sin demands. He has endured the hell in which our sin belongs. He has taken the wages and has done the time, so that you and I can experience the realities of eternal life beginning here and now. As Stuart Townend says in his hymn, there is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine, when I behold his face, when suffering cease and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. Praise the Lord for eternal life. Let's pray. Glorious Father, we thank you that there is eternal life to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he is that eternal life. The more that we have of him, the more that we know of that eternal life. And so we pray that throughout this day that you'd help us to be rejoicing in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.